I'm very pleased to introduce my next guest. Represents folks over in Baldwin County, South Baldwin County, to be precise. State Representative Steve McMillan joins us on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
Doing great. Appreciate the opportunity. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you for making time for us. It's always good to get you on. Let's just kind of talk in a broad sense. First 2 weeks of session have come and gone without any real COVID-19 scares. I think they were kept at a minimum. But what's your evaluation of this these early stages of the 2021 session?
I think the staff and the leadership have done an excellent job. One of the interesting things is the little tablets we use to vote remotely. And the one shortcoming that I see is that for the people sitting in the gallery and then the meeting rooms outside the gallery on the sixth floor are limited in their communication to the people on the floor. And I'm going to talk to the speaker about that, see if we can't work it out, but I don't think we can because of this social distance seating. It's awfully convenient when the old way, for lack of a better description, the formal way we were doing it, is you could get up and walk around the floor and to people not familiar with the process, they think that they're not sure about what's going on. But it gave us an opportunity, for example, to talk to a committee chairman about getting a bill put on the next agenda. And members of the committee to be sure they understand the bill and don't have any questions or have some that are answered before we go into the agenda's meeting. So it's I don't know that there's a way around that because of the social distancing, but I'm going to talk to them about it. We had one legislator who was not able to attend and to go back home because he had a fever. And that was the first day of the session. And in his time frame, he had to let that go by at home in isolation. He told me he never had been so happy to walk from his house to his post office box. So he was really tired of being cooped up. His daughter went to a church camp and brought it home to him, is what he said. So that's a tough way to get it.
Yeah, well, it's funny how the virus travels. Let's talk about the business of the House. It seems like the Senate's going to really go hard after gaming. That may occupy a lot of their next week. What is the House really? Are you still kind of in the mode of trying to figure out the budgets? What seems to be the business of the day when y'all get back next Tuesday to Montgomery?
Typically, it'll be non-controversial bills, and that so far, that's what we've been able to stick with and accomplish some good things. All COVID-19 connected almost everything. The first question is, how does this affect the virus? But we've done some good deals. We've had some bills that didn't really generate a lot of controversy up to this point, but as you well know from your years of experience, that's something you can anticipate somewhere before the end of the session. One or both of the houses will get bogged down on some issue.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like lately, though, I guess it's a lot when you have a supermajority, a lot of the stuff, the big controversial stuff can kind of cruise through the Senate. The House here lately has been where a lot of that's being bogged down, but it seems to be the approach of the Speaker to get what you can. And I guess there's this sense of urgency because you don't know if there will be a spike or something. You have to call the whole thing off or postpone it for the time being.
Well, the other thing about it that a lot of people don't think about and are really not aware of is the essential personnel we have that go with it. And we've had some staff have to go home, two or three that I know of, and there are about approximately 80 people working in the House and the Senate, some few more than that sometime during the session for proofreaders and that sort of thing. But a spike, you hit the nail on the head, a spike in the number of personnel and all legislators that if this stuff, it could just shut the session down.
Yeah. So, and when we talked to, I talked to Chairman Class a couple of weeks ago, he acknowledged that that was the possibility. So he thought, well, let's try to get these budgets out of the way. Obviously, the constitutionally mandated thing to do to get those budgets knocked out. But do you hold much hope? Are you optimistic that that could be accomplished, that you could get that done at such an early stage of the session?
I think so, yeah. We've done it before, and I think we'll do it again. There's even more motivation now to do it because we could really run into a problem if enough legislators or staff, as we said, were to get contract this stuff. It could be tough. And I think it's a smart move. We've got good people in the leadership. They've got experience and knowledgeable. We've got really good staff, particularly in the area of legal advice as well as financial advice. Alabama at one time last year ranked number 7 in the whole nation as far as our financial stability. And I think that says a lot. There are a lot of states that are having some serious budget problems. All but one state requires the budgets to be balanced, and they're going to have to make some notes, because I wanted to point this out because I think it's interesting. The budget issues that other states have, they're freezing employment, freezing pay increases, lots of things that they're having to do, eliminate programs, implement across the board budget cuts, which we would do under the proration process, hiring freeze, salary freeze, or some combination of any of those things. Some states are expecting a 10% or more decrease in budget from previous fiscal year.
Yeah, and that Alabama, has taken, and I guess you could go back to when Republicans really got in charge in 2010, or I guess 2011 actually, and really changed the way the purse strings were used in the legislature. But as we see today, there's been some pitfalls along the way, obviously, but long term, you're able to weather these storms like a COVID a little bit better than we have been able to in the past.
And it's significant because we have the budget process in the House since 2012. We've not had any proration in the general fund budget. And then with the Rotor Reserve and Education Trust Fund, somewhere around $7 billion plus. Every year for the last few years, we've had another increase in the budget for education, which has been significant. And we went from averaging proration at least every 3 years in one budget or the other to zero proration since 2012. And that coincides with exactly what you said about the Republicans getting the majority, and we think being more responsible with the budget process, but being fair too with the citizens and the employees, the educators.
Joined by State Representative Steve McMillan here on the program. Move to some of these hot button topics. Obviously, Senator Marsh, the upper chamber up there, has rolled out his comprehensive gaming proposal. I don't think it's much of a surprise. A lot of us expected something along these lines over the last, several months. But what was your initial reaction to what you? What you've seen or been able to glean from it?
Based on what I know, and I've not read the whole 870-page document that the governor's task force had, but in talking to other legislators, I think that if it comes up for a vote, I really do think it will pass in the legislature. We'll have to wait and see, but at this point, the legislators that I've talked to feel pretty comfortable voting for it because the opponents have not come out of the closet either. We'll be getting plenty of information from them too.
I guess the hurdle is getting to that 3/5 threshold was always the problem, and getting it in the Senate had been easier in recent years. Getting the House had been difficult because some of your colleagues, protecting their own turf with these dog track casinos. But now it looks like it can move forward. Once it gets on the ballot, wherever you are on it, but do you think it has a good shot at getting approved by the voters?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. With all of the different aspects, the lottery, the sports gaming, and so forth, and it looks like Senator Marsh has done a good job of including everybody that needed to be included and trying to work out the differences before it comes up for a vote on the floor in the Senate. But I anticipate that it will pass the legislation. I don't think there's any doubt, but what else significantly pass in the vote of the people?
Yeah,
a lot of legislators are already saying I'm not for it, but I'm going to let the people vote on it.
It does, the one thing every year, will this be the year Alabama gets the lottery? Will this be the year? And then it kind of dies on the vine, but it does seem now there's the appetite to tackle it and just, if anything, whether you like it or you don't, at least get it on the ballot and give people the opportunity to vote for it. And that way you could say you tried.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think, based on what I've seen, I don't think there's any doubt but what it would pass once the voters had an opportunity.
Do you think it's going to, how much do you think it's going to change in the interim? What are you hearing that, are there places for it to be improved upon or changed?
I'm sure with something as complicated as this particular issue, there'll be some changes probably. But as I said, I think Senator Marsh has done a good job in working with the interest groups and the legislators that could be potentially impacted negatively in their districts. But I think, with all of that said, I just think we'll see what happens when it moves out of the Senate, and I feel like it will.
When do you think? Do you think it? At what point do you think the House is going? Are you just kind of waiting on the Senate? What do you think the House will get the opportunity to look at it?
We had this week off, and I know he intended to continue to meet with people and tweak it a little bit, but I don't think there'll be any major changes. I think by the time it gets to the floor in the Senate, Senator Marsh will have done a good job in working his colleagues and considering their issues and problems that they may have at the local level. So I think if that happens, then you're going to have a large number of senators out explaining to their constituents why they voted the way they did. I think at least there'll be a couple of weeks by the time we get back.
Representative, we got to leave it there. Thank you for making time for us, and let's have this conversation again sometime.
Look forward to it. Thank you, and have a good day. Stay warm.
Thank you. State Representative Steve McMillan.